Father, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we come today thankful, in awe of your graciousness to us. Lord, in awe of the mercy that you've bestowed upon our lives. Lord, the likes of us that you would draw us to hear this message of the riches of your glory, and not something afar off, but what you're doing in them that believe. And Lord, we thank you that we know in due time it will be the glory that shall be revealed in us. We thank the Lord, the transformation comes by what we hear. Thank you, Lord, you have given us an ear to hear what the Spirit saith, specifically and especially to the Church of Philadelphia. And Lord, you're encouraging us again today. I've given you the crown. Now hold it fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. We give you the praise. We look to you for all the keeping. We give you all that in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. If you'd open up your Bibles with me today, we're going to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And we're coming to a verse. This is the very first time the word grace is found in the Word of God, is found in the Bible. This is how grace came to man. And it never changes. This is how grace always comes to man. And here it is. And this particular man, his name is Noah. And in verse 8, it says here, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we'll just rejoice in this little phrase, Noah found grace. Now, brothers and sisters, what this means is he lighted upon it. He happened upon it. He discovered grace, listen to this, because grace met him. Grace met him. And that's just it. Do you know how you find grace? Well, let me tell you, you weren't even looking for it. Grace finds you. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. And that's just it, brothers and sisters, because that is exactly what grace is. Grace is undeserved. Amen. Grace is undeserved. Grace is unmerited. So I thank the Lord, grace has to be given. And matter of fact, the Word of God says it's not only given, it's freely given. His grace was never earned or merited by anyone. And I thank the Lord, I think a few out here know it. It was all freely given, nothing withheld, for everything. Not contingent, not something that was sometimes. It was always for all things, for everything, every breath, every event of your life. This grace, praise God, was freely given to you. Oh, yes. Lord, help us to get excited about it over and over and over again. But that's exactly how it came to Noah. It's exactly the way it comes to us. God divinely has us discover grace. Divinely. And the more grace, he enlightens our eyes to see it. Praise God. And that's that wonderful power of the Holy Ghost to take the things of Christ, he that is full of grace and truth, and show them unto you. To show you more grace, to show you more truth. Praise the Lord. And that grace is going to be in every bit of that truth. Amen, it is. And we thank God, that's divine of God, that we would discover it. And the reason is because it was made for us. Our whole life is arranged. Your whole life is arranged. You have before ordained good works that you should walk therein. It's absolutely arranged for us to find grace, and the more grace, and the more grace, and the more grace, and grace for grace. But the only question is will you take it? Because it's right there. for every child of God. Right? Every child of God, it's grace. That's the life that you live. You're saved by grace. You're kept by grace. You grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where there is no law, that's what grace did for you. He took the law. He took the commandments. He took the ordinances, which he said which were against you, and he nailed them to the cross. Whom he has made free is free indeed. So where there is no law, there is no sin. That's the life that we live. That is your life. Remember this. I know you look at yourself and you say, my goodness, it sure does not look that way. But I believe Galatians 2:20. Do you? I'm crucified with Christ. Amen. But yet I live. Hallelujah. But it's no longer I that live. See, I died. If you're a child of God here today, you died. You died. You died with him. But nevertheless, you live. But it's no longer you that live. It's Christ that liveth in you. Christ lives in you. That's why it's so beautiful. That's why it's such a perfect oneness. It's just him. It's just his life. We have the same very life, the life of the Son of God. And we all live the same. And yes, we do. There's no difference. There's no difference. We all live the same. We live by the faith of the Son of God. That's it. This is our life. Every bit of it. Amen, it is. We may feel different about it. We may have different experiences. We may have all of these different things. But we all live the same life. We live by the faith of the Son of God. We all have that same faith. You can't believe anything in that word without the life of Christ. Amen. You cannot. Amen. Don't think anything of you, because I think we already confirmed you died. So the only life that's got any faith that's in your life right now is whose life? It's the life of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Don't let it be something strange to you. Thank God for it. I don't only have a chance. The victory's already won. I thank the Lord. I'm not just going to get by. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me. I have this life. And it's not just positive thinking. It's not, oh, I just want to think like that. That's what it is. That's reality. This is the reality of who we are in Christ. We are seated in the heavens in Christ right now. We are citizens of heaven right now. Right now, we're the sons of God, and it will always be that way. Praise the Lord. That's all been done. We have that. And now we have this precious time, and it is. It's such a brief moment. It's a vapor. And the Word of God says it's like grass that's grown in the morning and mowed down in the evening. But it's the most critical, it's the most valuable thing that God ever made. It's true. He gave us and he made time for us. And he made this moment of time, your life, to grow up fully for him. To have that life that he knew would come into you, his life. And to grow up into the measure and the stature and the fullness. That he'd receive me as his own. Like him. Present me to himself. His glory. What are you meditating on? What do you think about all day? You couldn't even get close to that. The sad part of it is most of God's precious people pass up the reality of who you are in Christ. Bigger barns, uncertain riches. Don't miss this. Pray for me. I don't want to miss this. I see it. I see it in you. I see it in you. Hallelujah. Because it's him. It's not to butter you up. He's the God that knows what he's planting. He knows what he's going to harvest. And he doesn't just throw his seed around and scatter it. He's precise. He tells us in the Word of God, I send it to that thing. And in that vessel, praise God, I'm going to perform it. I'm going to accomplish it. And I love that. It's not on me. It's not. The lily doesn't toil. Lord, let me just be still and keep receiving it. I know I got it in me because it's you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. She descends from heaven. She doesn't have her glory. She has his glory. There's but one glory. It's him. And that's the life that's in her. It's him. That's why we don't need to confuse the matter here. It's one. It's one. That's the beauty of it all. That's how he can accomplish it. He gave you his life. He gave you the very power of his might, the Holy Ghost, that raised him from the dead, that had him to ascend to the right hand of the Father. He gave you his life. He gave you his power. And then he didn't keep us in the dark about this. He gave us the absolute plan, the purpose, the provision, all of these things. And praise the Lord, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. It never changes. It's all the same. And I thank God. And here's what it is. He had you find that grace. Go on over to Romans. I don't know how many sermons he's got for you today, but I'm sure they're all good. All right. Romans chapter 9. It's just one continuous I love you. You know that, right? That's what this word is. Just an I love you. Let me count the ways. Count them with him. Hallelujah. Romans 9. Read from verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, that's you and me, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. They were following after the law of righteousness to attain the law of righteousness, but they couldn't attain it. And here you weren't even looking for it. You were ignorant to it. You were going the complete opposite way. And grace met you. And grace gave it to you. Grace had you find it by faith, by believing. And you're completely ornery. Completely ignorant, but grace. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. They stumbled right there at Jesus, right before him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is who we are. That's you and me. We received something, and we always receive something. That's what mercy is. It's giving you the exact extreme opposite of what you deserve always. Something you never even knew about, but you obtained it because God sent grace to meet us with it. Hallelujah. That's the message of the bride. You aren't looking for it. Every life here, praise God. They're just all the multitude of beautiful stories. We're all these precious. We're Esthers. Esthers. It was just divine. We're just a company of Esthers. Isn't that beautiful? Stars. Sun Glory. That's her name. Esther Sun Glory. How we got to this place. It was perfect. It looked like it was just a no way. Esther, her parents died. An orphan has to be uprooted, moved over to a relative. Comes into this new town, and it just happened to be at that new town that the queen got lippy. When the king said, get her out of here, we're going to have a new one. She don't want it. There's one that's better than her. I'm going to give it to her. So then she had that relatives with her. Well, honey, I guess give it a shot, huh? No, he didn't say that. He said, you go in there. You go get it. Go get it. Believe. And here's what you do. Don't you bring anything of you in there. You listen. You park all your stuff and all your thoughts about how you'd do any of it and get it out of your head. And you listen only to the keeper of the women. You listen only to the Holy Ghost telling you about Paul's gospel. And you know what she got? She got the crown. It said that that king, he said, oh, honey, my love to you exceeds all the other women. She had no idea what she got. And then as she obtains it all, he has to tell her she's coming in there to ask him for something. He's just sitting there. He can't even hear what she's asking because he's so in love with her. And then finally, as he comes to, oh, honey, what's mine is yours. Whatever you want, it's yours. I freely gave it to you because I'm in love with you. You'll never explain that, but you can know it and you can believe it. And that's every bit of the Word of God, and it begins with salvation. That God sent His Son. Explain it. It's endless. You could never adequately explain, but you can know it and you can believe it. All right now. So here we have the Jew knowing about it. They sought it to attain it by their efforts, by their works, their false righteous life. And some try to say that Noah, he found grace because he was seeking it, that God chose him because he was righteous. And I'll tell you, no, 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 no. God chose Noah the same way that we are chosen. Mercy. Mercy. This grace is a gift. Grace is unmerited. Grace is undeserved. Because that's what grace is. Turn on over to Exodus 33. I may have even came out with his name earlier instead of saying Noah. But here's Moses. I believe we heard a little bit about Moses last week on Wednesday, didn't we? Exodus chapter 33. Let's read from verse 19. God says to Moses here, this is where he's going to pass before him and let him see his back parts. I'm going to show you a little bit of glory. And he says to Moses, I will make all, isn't that wonderful? My goodness, pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And will be gracious, here we go, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Isn't that interesting? He tells Moses all this that's going to happen to him, all this glory he's going to see, all this goodness that God's going to give him. And then he says, okay, now we're going to do a check and balance right now. I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. It's a gift, Moses. This is grace, son. You're it. Because my mercy chose you. And you and you and you and you and you. There was a foreknowledge to it. Absolutely. It wasn't that God chose some and rejected others. No. He gave his son to die for the sin of every man. He said, I would that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But this is God. This is God, and he's all-knowing. All-knowing from beginning. So he knows his vessels. He knows those that will receive him. And he knows those of his that will receive his crown. There wasn't a bunch of people at that well with Rebecca, was there? There was just one. When he was out there, and like we said about Esther, it wasn't, well, you know, we'll whittle this down. He went in there and he said, it's her. There's one. The one is the one who's going to receive this message of mercy that will allow all the riches of his glory to be bestowed upon. And when we're that vessel of mercy and allow him to take all grace, not make any of it at all vain in our life or empty, all right, and put it upon you and array you in it, he can't do anything but marry it. I got to marry that. Because that's exactly the whole plan of the Father for my wife. That's the perfection of her. It's my grace. It's nothing but. And this one's going to have that confidence in my love. That confidence in my workmanship. That confidence. See, that's what faith is. I'm believing in this great love that he has for me. I believe what he tells me in his word, and I'm hearing. And I thank the Lord. I don't want to hear anything else. There is no other gospel. Thank you, Jesus, to my ears. There's no other gospel but Paul's gospel. There's no other gospel. Paul says there's no other gospel. Paul says preach no other gospel. If I came in here and I preached to you anything but the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, I'll tell you what, get me out of here. For your sake. Now, you talk about this gift, and I'll hurry along, but this is good stuff, and we need to hear it. It makes me think of this man. His name is Josh McDowell. Some of you may have heard about him. He wrote a book called More Than a Carpenter. The amazing grace that came to that man. He was a devout atheist, completely against God. He was going out to prove that the Bible was a fake, that it was a fraud. He was set out in absolute determination. I'm going to prove this. He was so smart. He was at Oxford, Cambridge, all of this. He was a brainiac. And he knew that it was a bunch of minions like us that were just dumb that believed in this thing called Jesus and the Bible. So he sets off to just completely destroy us. Completely to get us to just give up and say, oh, I guess we are just stupid. He met grace on the way. And the Lord saved him. And the Lord had him come to a knowledge that there isn't anything more true that could ever even compare with this, the transcribing all of the wondrous thousands upon thousands of the transcribing of the Bible. And yet it's to almost 100% all the way down through. Nothing's even close. But it wasn't that that got him. He saw all of that. It was the grace of God that met him. Amen. And here he goes to write a book. And that book, I believe it's almost 20 million copies. Thousands upon thousands of people have come to know Jesus as Savior because of that man. Grace met him. He was determined to destroy. That sounds a little bit like a guy named the Apostle Paul. Amen. His name was Saul. And he was set out. He was going to kill the Christians. He was going to destroy them. I'm going to shut this truth down. I know this. There's no one that keeps the law like I do. I know these are all a bunch of bumpkins. They're running around calling this thing grace or whatever it is. It's just an excuse to be a disgrace. I'm going to kill him. And what happened? There he was on the road to Damascus. And grace met him. Grace met him. And so much grace met him. Matter of fact, all grace met him. Paul. Now I'm going to give to you, son, not only salvation, not only the infilling, I'm going to give you the message of the exceeding riches of my grace. I'm going to give you the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to give you the mystery of the exceeding riches. As he said, this made known to me the less of the least of all the saints. Now, brothers and sisters, I tell you what, I think that's the God we believe in. Amen. Are you seeing it? Do you see what he does? He places us divinely into the opportunity. that you had no intention of being at. You want to win the crown? This is the ones that win the crown. This is what they know their life is. He puts you in the opportunity that you had no intention of going to. You had not even an idea. And yet, praise God, it's right there that he brings the riches. He's the God that brings you into the banqueting house. He's the God, praise the Lord, that takes you and calls you out to the well. He's the one, he don't just put you in a field. He puts you in the Redeemer's field. He puts you in the field where I'm going to find my wife. It's all that exact. It's all that precise. And it's all that grace. Now, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you this. That's why we're always finding more and more and more and more grace, aren't we? And you know why? Because we praise him for nothing but his mercy. That's the change from glory to glory that's going on in them that will go. And I praise the Lord. I get the privilege of fellowshipping with some of you. You get it. We get it, don't we? I am what I am by the grace of God. And I love that I am what I am only by the grace of God. I love that our only praise is the grace of God. I love that the only boasting about our lives is the grace of God. We had to grow up through a lot of things, didn't we? Yeah. It's hard to take some of the things that God divinely orders for your life to humble you. Oh, you thought you humbled yourself before the Lord? I know it says, yes, humble yourself, but who brought all the humility? The question is, did you just receive it in the way that he sent it in love? That in his faithfulness he afflicts you? That sometimes he does have to send a messenger of Satan to buffet you? Honey, I know what I'm doing. And if I don't do a little thorn right now, you're going to get puffed up. You're going to think somehow, some way you merited this. And you're going to miss it. You're going to talk about grace, you're going to talk about grace, and you're going to talk about grace. And then at the very end, oh, but there's just this little thing I got to do. Leave it. Don't miss the best part. Now, let's close it up. We're living in this message the exact extreme opposite of what we deserve. Hallelujah! Come on! Thank the Lord for it. There should be a great praise in your heart right now. And if you're just sitting there stiff saying, oh no, that's just him. Bring it on. I want it. I want it. Thank you, Jesus. I live by the grace of God at the throne of his grace, obtaining all the riches of his mercy. And I'll tell you why. Because that's why I got a crown. And I can see you got the same crown too. Because we get it. You get it. And you thank him for it. And that's what encourages you on. That's what encourages your heart, the transformation from glory to glory. That's what puts you, praise the Lord, on your knee and breaks up the fallow ground when you're hard. You say, Lord, I've gone this way, but oh, there's such an ache in my heart. All I can do for my own life and yours truly is, Lord, just break it up. The root of bitterness, it won't lie idle. It won't. Nope. It grows. You don't let him have it.
It's going to choke. It's going to choke. He loves you so much, honeys. He has given us this. He's protected it in this place for all these years. It's unbelievable. This place is such an exception. It's not based upon how big it can be or how much it can do or where it can go. It stood in defense of the gospel of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's just, it is, it's so marvelous. And he's brought us into this. This is who he's called. You're who he's chosen. And we're out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. Praise be to God. We're from every walk of life. Oh, thanks be to God. Every problem of the world, yes, it's in the flesh. But I thank God, greater is he that is in me. We got to read this scripture because it's just too good. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Paul concludes, I was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I saw how bad I was and I changed my life and I made a decision. Is that what it says after that? That said, I just had this epiphany that I had to change. Nope. He became brand new. Brand new. All those old things passed away, and behold, all things have been made new. In a moment of time, this one, the persecutor, the blasphemer, the injurious, but I obtained mercy. And here, listen now, not because I cried mercy, not because I said, oh Lord, I need your mercy. Oh, no. Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I mean, the Lord is just laying it down. We have no other boasting but him. We have no other praise but his mercy and his grace. It was just like it for us. I did it ignorantly. I wasn't looking for it. But it was for me all the way along. And I'm going to tell you this. Mercy knew. You would fit that gown perfectly. Oh, yes, mercy knew. Hallelujah. Mercy knows exactly what it's working with. And by the grace of God, he's doing it, brothers and sisters. He's bringing this forth. And so I just say, you know what, sister, just on to more grace and more grace and more grace. And I'm just standing right there at that throne of grace. Man, I'll tell you what, obtaining all that mercy, do I look pretty good in glory? And I mean that, I don't say that just a joke. His vessels of mercy are, they're bestowed how much of the riches of his glory? All the riches of his glory. I think I'm looking just fine. I think you're looking just fine. Because you know what? It's the eye of that beholder, him, that matters. Let's pray. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, and thank you again in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. And
Lord, thank you that you've taken that love and shed it more abroad in our hearts today by the Holy Ghost. Lord, thank you for this truth, Lord, this truth in love that grows us up into you in all things. Lord, there's nothing more we want to be than ready, and be ready now, and be ready always, looking, loving, alive, and remaining for your appearing. Lord, even so, come. We love you so. Thank you for this divine grace. It is so wonderful. Until we see you, Jesus, we give you all the praise. Amen.